It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, the 26th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Microsoft is unveiling a new requirement for the companies that it works with. The goal? Incentivize smaller U.S. vendors that help Microsoft make its products to give their employees more vacation. Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
Microsoft has been hearing from its own employees, says Brad Smith, its general counsel, and they've been talking about the tech firm's subcontractors.
There was a concern being conveyed that these individuals, in some cases, did not get minimum time off.
Smith says the new 15-day minimum applies to suppliers in the U.S. with 50 or more full-time employees. That's around 2,000 companies employing receptionists, translators, and consultants.
For companies that don't have these benefits today, we're asking them to change some policies that may well increase some of their costs.
Smith says Microsoft will absorb some of those costs, but it won't know how much until the rule kicks in 12 months. Paid days off are a worthwhile investment, says Mike Aiken. He's with the Society for Human Resource Management.
We know that employers that offer these programs have lower turnover. They have higher engagement from these employees.
Aiken says virtually all companies with 50 employees or more offer paid time off, but not all offer a minimum of 15 days. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Radio Shack's future is still a big question mark. The waning electronics giant's bankruptcy proceeding might get some answers today in a court hearing about a takeover proposal from the hedge fund Standard General. One of the interesting assets Radio Shack has is its data trove. Information on 120 million customers has been collected during the company's 94-year history. There are legal challenges to selling the stuff. William McGevern is associate professor at the University of Minnesota Law School. He says that data can command a lot of moolah.
Customer data has always been a valuable part of the assets. Sometimes for a startup, it's one of the only things they have to offer in a bankruptcy. Everything else went bust, but they have a lot of good information.
What can the buyer do with this data?
Once someone buys the company's data, they can do whatever the company was allowed to do with it. And the entity that's rumored to be the buyer here is thinking about keeping the Radio Shack business going. And if they did, they'd use your customer data as part of that.
What lessons should other companies take away from this as they collect data and count it as an asset?
So many companies now include text in their privacy policy warning that in the event of a bankruptcy or an acquisition, the data is going to go to the new buyer. And that protects the companies and leaves them relatively free rein to make those kind of transfers.
Bill McGevern at the University of Minnesota's Law School. There have been reports this week that YouTube is preparing its live video game streaming service. Esports, as live gaming is sometimes called, is crazy popular. Amazon bought live streaming website Twitch.tv last year for over $1 billion. When you have massive live audiences watching live streaming of games, hackers descend. Silicon Valley-based tech journalist Sarah Zhang has been writing and tweeting about this stuff. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Let's start with doxing. You say doxing leads to swatting. Give me a quick definition of doxing.
Doxing, or dropping docs, is the act of posting someone's personal and or identifying information without their consent, anything from like a social security number to a home address.
And sometimes doxing leads to swatting, which is essentially calling 911 on them and getting a SWAT team or some other group of law enforcement sent to their home.
Exactly. I mean, it's basically that old joke about, you know, I wish I could punch that guy through a computer screen. Like, this is about as close as you can get to that. It's assault by proxy.
Why are we talking more and more about swatting?
I think it's sort of one of those things that it's on the rise seemingly in the media because you have sort of these high profile instances where the swatting happens on camera.
And this has to do with live streaming?
Yeah. So it's kind of this thing where, so you're playing a video game online and you're streaming yourself playing the video game. That's actually a form of media that young people consume. And being able to manipulate that media, like imagine if with a phone call, you could change what's happening on your television, right? Like, it's a very tempting thing to do.
Tell me a little bit about a concern that it sounds like you have, which is that a lot of the coverage of doxing and swatting is basically male-centered.
Right. So I think it starts actually with the Twitch stuff. That's a very visible form of swatting because it's taped, essentially. But three people were swatted in January, and two of them were women. I mean, I'm sure there were other people who were swatted, but the three that I'm thinking of were swatted specifically for being critics of Gamergate, which is sort of this
whole other can of worms. Yes.
Yeah, it's a hate group online that hates women, essentially. And there is a wave of this kind of behavior that is specifically focused around trying to drive out feminist voices from the internet.
Is there a fix?
I think this would be an important first step, is getting more media visibility for this phenomenon. And I understand that it's hard because women don't really want to talk about how they were doxxed and swatted. Like, it's just painting another target on your back. And now, you know, the media thinks about doxxing and swatting as something that happens to young men, by young men, as opposed to it being a larger phenomenon that includes this wave of violence against women.
Sarah Zhang is a tech journalist working in Silicon Valley. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
As we reported yesterday, yes, Facebook did announce plans to expand its messaging app into a platform during the company's F8 developer conference. There was also a big virtual reality demo by its subsidiary, Oculus VR. We've posted some more information on all of that stuff. Where else? At facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.